A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, select from among you 7 reputable men filled with the spirit and wisdom whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community. So Stephen, a man filled with faith and Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let your mercy be upon us as we place our trust in you.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Exalt, you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. With the 10-string lyre, chant his praises.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
See, the eyes of the Lord upon all those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, come to him, a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame. Therefore, its value is for you who have faith, but for those without faith, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that will make people stumble and a stone that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
lasts forever. What is the word that is living? It is brought to us through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Most people are acquainted with various fairy tales called Aesop's fables. These are all sorts of tales told to teach important moral lessons in life. However, few people know anything about the person Aesop. He lived in Greece some 500 years before Christ. He was a very wise man, and he was a slave. One day, his master ordered him to go to the public bath and see if his bath was ready. In those days, people bathed in public bathhouses. Most private homes did not have the luxury of hot water. A policeman saw the slave walking down the street. He stopped him and questioned him. He asked, "Where are you going?" Aesop was indignant about being ordered to go check at the bathhouse and then being stopped by the policeman as he was doing what he was told to do. Aesop said, Where am I going? "Sir, I do not know where I am going." With that, Aesop was promptly arrested and thrown in jail. He was brought before a judge. He testified in court, "When I said that I did not know where I was going, judge, indeed, I spoke the truth. Little did I know that I was going to jail." "Really, judge, who among us knows where we are going?" This is a question that human beings have asked from time immemorial. Where are we going? What can we know? And what can we ultimately expect in this life? The question that is posed by Thomas is warranted. And the response, as we hear Jesus speaking to us today, is a word that has a gentle urgency to it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. And so we have to contend with what is prompting this word of the Lord. What has agitated the hearts and the minds of the disciples then, and what maybe is agitating our hearts and minds in our day and time? We're all on different stages of the journey, and yet we're all experiencing the same realities in a world gone wrong in sin. And so we find ourselves gathered together in the company of brothers and sisters who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In this gospel scene, this is the Last Supper scene of John's gospel. Jesus has again disclosed what is imminent, what will happen to him in Jerusalem. And furthermore, he goes on to say that one of those 12 that he has chosen is going to play an integral part in this, and that they're going to betray him. Remember the responses, surely it is not I, man. Surely it is not I, Rabbi. And so it went. And then when it came from the mouth of Judas, Jesus said, you have said so. And it went the way it went. They were troubled. Jesus is aware of that. And so as they ask Jesus about the way, how are we to know? Jesus then has to entertain Philip. Let me see. Let us see the Father. That will be enough for us. Philip, are you kidding me? Really? You've been with me all this time. Still, you do not know. When you see me, you see my Father. When you hear me, you hear my Father. The Father is in me. And if you don't necessarily believe in the words that I'm speaking, then look at my works. What works is the Lord referring to? Well, let's begin to think of some of them, shall we? He fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, with 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish. And in another time, at least 4,000 men, not counting women and children, again, with meager provisions of bread and fish. He cleansed lepers, restored sight to the blind, enabled the lame to walk. He brought the dead back to life. The most astonishing and amazing one was Lazarus, at least 4 days in the tomb. Remember how Mary was remonstrating with Jesus? It's going to be a stench. Did I not tell you? Roll the stone. Water into wine. These are but a few. And yet we hear Jesus say that in a future time, in a future age, speaking of the age of the church, mind you, that we hear recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, they're going to see, you're going to see far greater works than these. What could he be referring to? I think we get the clearest example of an idea of what Jesus was referring to about that future age. When we remember the 4 friends who brought the paralytic. Remember the paralyzed man? They brought him through the roof of the house. It was believed to be the house of Simon. And they went through the roof and they brought the man to Jesus because they couldn't get through the front door. So many people were packed in there listening to Jesus open up the word to them. And as they were lowering the paralytic down, Jesus was most impressed with their faith when he saw the faith of these friends. He said to the paralytic, your sins, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, this word of Jesus stirred the hearts of the scribes. They didn't say it verbally, but they thought, how is this man? How can he forgive sin? Who can forgive sins except God alone?
Jesus, we're told the gospel says, immediately aware of their thoughts, said, "Why are you harboring such thoughts? Why are you entertaining these things in your hearts?" Which is easier for me to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home," so that you might believe that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins in heaven and on earth? I command you, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. He did just as Jesus commanded him to do. And we're told that the crowds outside were amazed and said, "We have never seen anything like this." Far greater than any of the supernatural miracles and signs that Jesus performed while he walked on this earth in a human nature for 33 years, three of those 33 years in the public eye, far greater than all of those miracles is the ability to restore an immortal soul to their original state of holiness, which is what? Eternal life. The forgiveness of sins far exceeds the entire creation of the cosmos, visible and invisible, this earth and all of the constellations of the universe, pale in comparison to the power, the ability to restore an immortal soul to the right relationship with God to live forever. The seven sacraments of the church, the administration of the church, empowered with the God's gift of the Holy Spirit, is the greater works that Jesus is referring to in this gospel. Our problem, as I was sharing with our young people who experienced Jesus for the first time under the sacramental signs of the bread and wine yesterday morning, the problem we have is that God communicates this extraordinary reality in the context of that which is very ordinary, very down to earth. A little piece of bread, a little bit of wine. We take it for granted, especially those of us who are on the journey still much longer than the little ones. And what is necessary for us to obtain this favor of God, to go on this way, to bask in the light and the consolation of the truth that God alone can reveal that leads to this life. What's necessary? Faith. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. But what does faith entail, really? We say that, don't we? I have faith. Cardinal Archbishop Timothy Dolan wrote a book years ago. I was still in the seminary, entitled Priest for the Third Millennium. And in that book, he wrote a bunch of, it was a compilation of his rector's conferences that he had communicated at the North American Seminary in Rome. He was there for many years as a rector before being appointed as a bishop. And in that book, he speaks on faith. He writes on faith. He says, faith comes down to three elements: belief, acceptance, and response. Belief, acceptance, and response. It's not enough just to say, "I believe." One must accept how God is communicating that which he desires for us to have. And with that acceptance, we must be ready and willing to respond. I think of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. I was chaplain at Cabrini High School in our archdiocese for 3 years, almost 4 years, prior to Katrina, after Katrina. And when she was a young girl, she almost drowned in a creek, but she was saved. Then, as she grew into womanhood, she experienced the call of God to the religious life, and so she had this desire to be a missionary to the East, to go into China and minister the gospel. So she went to the then reigning Pope, Pope Leo XIII, and says, "Holy Father, I desire to go to the East
And he says, "No, my daughter, go not to the east, go to the west." And so she did. She accepted that. She didn't expect that. It certainly isn't what she wanted, but she accepted it, and she responded by going to the west. You know what that required her to do at least 27 times in her life? She had to cross the Atlantic Ocean over 27 times, back and forth. Somebody who almost drowned in a creek, imagine. God gave her the grace to overcome her fears. Whatever was troubling her, she was able to respond to the will of God because she accepted it and she chose to respond with the help of God. What are we being told by Jesus today? We're being given the answer to the questions, the fundamental questions that have been asked by humanity from the beginning of times. What should I do? What can I know, and what shall I ultimately hope for and expect? Jesus tells us today in responding to Thomas, "I am the way." It would be nice if he would want, wouldn't we love it to have the path that leads to heaven, to have a road map, having all of the, over the years as people have traveled this path, we know it's to be reliable. When we see, like when we travel on our highways, we know these are reliable ways to travel because we see how the roadways have been developed. Remember, somebody told me, Father, there were times I was been in Plaquemines Parish for long, this highway wasn't even nothing but a dirt road leading from here all the way down to the end of the world, they call it, Venice, Buters, down there, to the end of the world. I watched all of this development. Wow. I can only listen and accept it based on the credibility of those who have been here. And so it is. Wouldn't we want for that to be the case? But Jesus doesn't give us a road map. He doesn't give us the global positioning system that we have such the benefit of in our cars now, telling us how to turn right and left when we are on the way somewhere we've never been before. He gives us himself as the way. His person. And this is insight as to what heaven, what is heaven? Where is heaven? Heaven isn't somewhere out there. Heaven is the person of God revealed in Jesus. When we go from this life, we are entering fully into the mystery of what we've been grafted into when we were baptized. So as we are on the way together, we are to continue to persevere in what we have come to know. We follow Jesus, who is the way. And he speaks to us the truth. Think about some things that we accept. For instance, when were you born? When was I born? How do you know you were born on that date? Who told you? How did you come to believe that? Well, most of us know our day of birth because our parents told us. And hopefully they know. If anybody knows, they know. And what is the basis of our acceptance of what they have told us? Well, we believe that they love us. They care for us. Well, in the same way, Jesus is disclosing to us the way. He says, "I am the way. I am the truth." He's got to be. We must consider him to be credible. He has no one greater to appeal to than himself, who has come from heaven and returns, and not to leave us orphans. "I've come that you may have life and have it in abundance." And therein, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, communicating to us, reminding us of Jesus' manifold words and actions that he's performed, continuing to guide us into truth as we can handle it, and as we respond in faith, week in and week out, to attend to the teaching of the apostles, the communal life, the breaking of the bread and the prayers. We are being transformed into what we have received, which is nothing less than love. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. If you have trouble remembering what faith entails, belief, acceptance, and response, this make it
use the acronym BAR. I'm going to the bar today. I am committing myself to the bar, which is based on Jesus, the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one I believe in. He is the one whom I have accepted as my personal Lord and Savior. And therefore, I choose to respond to him, particularly when I find myself troubled, haggard in this life by whoever and whatever the world presents me with. For with him who stands with me and walks with me and talks with me and loves me so much so that he gave himself over for me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, saith the great Saint Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. God love you.